an aspect of trafficking which is, from a media perspective, is just starting to get a bit of traction and hit the headlines is the trafficking of workers into the seafood trade, with particular emphasis on the crime being committed at sea, not least in the shores around the UK. And with this in mind, we're going to hear now from a speaker at the core of the North Atlantic Maritime Project, which is preparing a special conference on this issue early next year. So we will hear now from Paul Broadbent of the Gangmasters Licensing Authority.
Your Eminence, Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. A few things, if I can, to start with, if that's okay. The Gangmasters Licensing Authority was created in 2004 as a result of 23 Chinese cockle pickers being driven out on foot into the sands, the beaches in the northwest of England, and only a few came back. 23 people lost their lives. There are 22 photographs up there. One is still missing, presumed dead, from 2004. The Gangmasters Licensing Authority seeks to regulate the provision of labour and also investigate instances of labour exploitation in the food industry. The word gangmaster was created by William Wilberforce, so I think as part of this discussion and moving forward, maybe it's time that this agency took a change of name, at least, if not direction. Moving on to Operation Alto. There is a map of the UK. The blocked out area in blue and the star in the middle is the harbour where Scottish fishing trawlers went out into the North Atlantic and scooped up lots of fish. Scotland produces or catches 60% of the UK's fish, so it contributes an awful lot in that respect. It's questionable as to whether or not Scotland contributes quite as much to UK football, but that's an area that we can discuss maybe later. Operation Alto itself. There was some information that came, first of all, from one victim who'd been on one of the trawlers leaving southwest Scotland and coming back and managed to escape that particular trawler and presented himself to the Apostleship of the Seas in Plymouth. Exactly how that individual got from Scotland to Plymouth remains a mystery. That individual was a Filipino gentleman. Within a very short time after, two further Filipino victims presented themselves in Northern Ireland, again having escaped from one of the trawlers, and three further victims presented to a Scottish airport. They all worked for one firm with an annual turnover of £3.5 million, running seven trawlers out of southwest Scotland. A number of people would go out on the trawler. There is anecdote to say that possibly 10 trawlermen went out and only 9 came back and nothing was ever picked up. This is purely anecdote and it can't be confirmed, but we know looking across the world that there are some serious issues around trawlermen. It should be said that Police Scotland and specifically DCC Livingston picked up that mantle, and I think it's really important that senior leadership just grasp that operational nettle, because what we're seeing sometimes is that the senior leadership either doesn't know or doesn't appreciate the impact, but certainly what was Dumfries and Galloway Constabulary and then Police Scotland, an English phrase is through the kitchen sink at this issue. There were lots of resources deployed to rescue victims and to identify and prosecute the offenders. So building this up into a case where something tangible could be done and people could be rescued. In December 2012, so 2 years ago now, Dumfries and Galloway Police Scotland organised a truly international multi-agency operation. Clearly the victims were potentially Filipino. On doing the action, Sri Lankan men, Ghanaian men, were also on board, and the stories they had to tell were traumatic in the extreme. 23 potential victims, as it says there, were rescued. Slavery, debt bondage, assault, and the physical assault was all too prevalent to see. Those individuals were quickly looked after. The NRM is the National Referral Mechanism, a UK-wide process and mechanics for making sure that people are well looked after and quickly, ably supported by Migrant Help and the Fisherman's Mission. And those men were assisted to rebuild those lives with the twin-track approach of securing evidence from those victims, but also assisting the victims to come to terms with what had happened, in some cases months, in some cases years, and building a picture going forward. It's safe to say, and a key part of the job that Police Scotland did and that the GLA seeks to do, is either repatriate those individuals with consent, if that's what they want to do, or at the very least, do the best we possibly can to provide accommodation and provide jobs for them. Because these men lived on the boat, that was their home, they had nowhere to go. So you close this firm down, they're immediately jobless and homeless. It's currently an ongoing investigation. I know as of now, Police Scotland officers are out in Manila making those inquiries with a view to bringing these people, the trawler owners, to court. It's worth noting that the trawler owner was an upstanding member of South West Scotland society and was viewed by esteem by a large number of people. This has clearly been destroyed by the activity that they took out of sight, out of mind, and offshore. This has been followed up by SE Derek Byrne, Assistant Commissioner Derek Byrne, who's passionate about the fact that we're alive to that when an operation takes place somewhere in the world, there may be some displacement somewhere else. So the coast of Ireland, not too far from Scotland, so has that problem gone from Scotland and is it popping up elsewhere? So Derek's passionate about making sure that all the lessons and the learning from the Scottish experience can be built in and worked through next year. So again, as a member of the public and a small government organisation, I really appreciate and I'm grateful for Derek's leadership in that area. As the Minister has said, there are between 10 and 13,000 victims in the UK. Clearly, the media will always focus on the 13,000 and just take the highest figure because that's what their numbers are about. But what we know as a government agency, that wherever there is low-paid, low-skilled and high demand for temporary work, like now, when lots of food products need to be on the shelves for Christmas, there will be the potential for labour exploitation. And the area of the food industry that we seek to regulate and prevent labour exploitation, there are around 700,000 people working in our sector right now, today. And that's a £100 billion business. I'll come on to in a moment the positives, because there are some. I don't want to be all doom and gloom. But out of that £100 billion turnover business, the industry wants to spend some money with us to eradicate modern slavery. There are in total 1.6 million total temporary workers in the UK, and there are a further, including those, there are 4.8 million people on the minimum wage. Now, I'm not suggesting that everybody on the minimum wage is vulnerable to exploitation, but certainly the potential to be vulnerable exists wherever people are on the minimum wage. There are some emerging trends for the UK coming through at this moment in time. Some have been there for a long, long time, including the sex trade, clearly. But car washes, care homes, charity bags and leaflets. If people are dropping leaflets through your doors or picking charity bags up from the end of your drive, they may well have been trafficked into the country and been forced to do this. Dual exploitation, we've seen recently people trafficked into the UK in order to be forced to work. While they've got some downtime, as the criminals would say, they are forced to go out to steal, sometimes stealing to eat, sometimes stealing to order, but also being instructed to commit other kind of crime. And that criminal sexual labour exploitation sometimes is a victim of all three. That is a heat map purely of labour exploitation. It doesn't tell the full story. Scotland looks a bit light, which is probably because Mr. Livingstone's sorted everything in Scotland, so there's not a problem. And it doesn't show Southern Ireland because we only keep statistics for the UK. But it's a warm map, I think that's fair to say, and that is just the tip of the iceberg, we're sure. That is a snapshot. The top right and bottom left are precisely what criminals think about some other human beings. They're a barcode to make money. And whilst the accommodation on those photographs in the shipping containers may not seem so bad for some parts of the world, when you are paying hundreds of pounds a week to live in accommodation like that and paying more in accommodation than you're receiving in wages, we all think that's a bit of a problem. So looking forward, the GLA and others are doing all kinds of things, and we're really grateful for everybody's support. We are trying to build, and from this meeting, a international labour inspectorate network comparable to law enforcement and the church, so we can share more readily information, international and national trends, cross-border boundaries, and work out the common denominators and other aspects of international law and regulation that could be applied to this area? Or do we focus on the trade associations to allow them to squeeze out the bad guys in the industry and let us do our work? One of the key aspects that we've only just landed in principle is that three major supermarkets, all multi-billion and global supermarkets in the UK, want to fund GLA officers to work in their source countries abroad so that when they get any intelligence and information that there might be a problem with a supply chain issue, they contact the GLA officer who makes those inquiries. Now, clearly there are jurisdictional and lots of other issues, but I'm grateful to the National Crime Agency for affording us, in principle, the platform to be able to work with their officers moving through. So the retail industry wants to pay this room to assist it to manage its supply chain, which is superb, but they hold responsibility. That's the key issue. That doesn't get diverted. And clearly what we want to do is prevent labour exploitation at source, global protection for victims, relentless pursuit and preparedness for all types of slavery. Finally, if you look at the criminality spectrum across the board for labour exploitation that we deal with, we're really fortunate that we have the police and the National Crime Agency dealing with high threat of harm to individuals, and we've also got Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs that deals with the substantial financial loss and tax evasion. The GLA seeks to perform that middle ground and police that middle ground to make sure that people who fall short of trafficking but are victims of modern slavery are still afforded all the protection and the preventative measures that we have. The GLA, should it be called an anti-slavery strategy, that would be a conversation I'd like to pick up with the Minister and the Home Office in due course. That's a reminder of other areas of exploitation, where they are and what's happening, and I have no doubt that's happening somewhere within the UK now. And just move back to one final slide. That is the monument to the 23 Chinese cockle pickers who were drowned in Morecambe Bay. Thank you very much.